The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. What do we do on Fridays? Well, it's not only is it restaurant week, but then we do our restaurants of the week, and this week it is Gilroy's. Gilroy's is over on 8th Street. Carl Wurzberger is with us. He's the managing partner there for this stylish American comfort food. Welcome, Carl. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks.
So tell us, okay, I'm familiar with Gilroy's. I've been there a couple of times.
Thank you.
There's been all kinds of stuff going on there that I get to go to. So tell us a little bit about the start. Where does this place come from?
Yeah, well, Gilroy's in its own name is stylish American comfort food, like you said, is what we serve. Son of a redhead, and all of our brand is inspired by a neighborhood concept. So we're in the neighborhood of 8th Street of West Des Moines. We're open 7 days a week. We serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're open every day at 7:45 in the morning.
So when we talk about comfort food, grits? Got grits?
You know what? People a lot of times think like Southern, no grits. We did an original menu. We had shrimp and grits.
Ah, there you go.
We tried our best to have it, but it seemed like more of the food that was liked was like breaded pork tenderloins. You know, classic Midwest dishes.
Yeah. Where do the ideas for this stuff come from? You kind of hang around with Midwestern people, and they say, hey, this is what I like.
Yeah. I'm from Dubuque originally, so most of the concepts come from probably Midwest people. Comes from people I know. We do a lot of research and what works and, you know, what we do. So a lot of the ideas and concepts come from the culinary team, but also what we see always sells. Like, you know, spinach and artichoke dip, sure, kind of restaurant one on one and an appetizer menu, breaded pork tenderloin, grilled chicken sandwiches, stuff like that. But we also do things a little more stylish and different. Like, we have an Eggs Benedict rather than a hollandaise sauce. We do a house cheese sauce.
There
so, like, our house cheese sauce is incorporated with our rare bit, Eggs Benedict. We have fried mac and cheese balls. So we try and incorporate some of these fun dishes.
Carl Wurzberger, ladies and gentlemen, he is the managing partner over at Gilroy. So where did you get your start, Carl?
Started at Village Inn in Dubuque, Iowa.
There you go, man.
I started there young. They didn't serve booze, so I could start very young there.
Right.
Bussing tables, dishwasher there. Went to school at Iowa State University. So I worked there at Dublin Bay, Wallabies, Broiler Steakhouse. And then recently, before Gilroy's, I was the general manager of Court Avenue Restaurant Brewing Company here in downtown.
Yeah. Is that those aren't necessarily late-night places here in Des Moines that you've worked at, is it? Gilroy's isn't a late-night place,
yeah,
is it?
We're open late, but we're certainly not seen as a late-night spot.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Court Avenue Brewing Company, being the heart of the entertainment district, we certainly had some good later business. But yeah, certainly other places would be more like neighborhood regular hours.
Right. The inside of Gilroy's, what's that like?
Yeah. Since we are a son of a redhead, the main color tone is orange.
No.
so the walls are orange. We use gray, black tones. It's very open and spacious. It's very welcoming. A lot of the comments I hear from people in the past remember Jimmy's American Cafe.
Everybody talks about
Jimmy's. Seems like everyone in Des Moines went there.
If you are over the age of 45, you know Jimmy's very well.
Yeah. I'm 36, so it was always troubling for me to hear these comments because I didn't get experience it myself.
Yeah, you wouldn't have.
But I always tell people it seemed like it's where relationships started or relationships ended at Jimmy's, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard that many times.
So the scheme and layout is really open. We took down a lot of walls. So when you come in the host stand area, you can see all the four areas. You can see our main dining room. You can see our party room, bar, and patio. We seat over 325 people, so we're a nice, big, spacious spot.
Now, you've got a party room back of the back that people can use as well.
Correct.
This location, this property, has been through some really interesting times. Prior to Gilroy's opening up, a fellow had it, and sadly, he up and died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Were you familiar at all with that?
No, I wasn't. I think it was too much before my time.
Okay.
I seem to be more familiar with the properties based on, you know, our customers coming and talking about the history of the building. I always kind of remind ourselves, I feel like we're the haunted house almost a little bit. You know, you have a house that's in the block.
Yeah, right.
You know, there could be good neighbors that live there, but it's had some, you know, the last place before us was the Ecuadorian Dance Club. So to give you some idea.
Really? Is that what it was?
So people ask, like, what did it used to be? I'm like, well, before it was Ecuadorian Dance Club. And obviously, I don't think that hit the niche market of 8th Street of West Des Moines.
As a matter of fact, wasn't it called 8th Street before it was Gilroy's or before it was – okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I know it was Palm, Big Ten.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, Jimmy's we already talked about. Right. Angelo's Pizza.
That's it, right. Yeah, so it's got a real history.
It has a real big history to it.
And everybody ought to know where it is.
Everyone should know where it's at.
I think for the most part, you know, say the Palm or Jimmy's, you know, right away, it tickles one's memory big time. When we talk about menus and stuff like that, what goes into yours? Do you change it up every once in a while? Is it seasonal? Probably not, or what?
For us, we do change it. We change it pretty often because we're 16 months in business. So in order for us to stay competitive, it's always listening to our customers, trying to figure out what their needs are.
What do you hope the customer wants?
Oh, man. I hope the customer wants everything.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. You produce a menu that has all the array of stuff that they want. And sometimes the stuff you think they want, they don't want.
Sometimes
the things that you're not necessarily the most passionate about, they might love. So it's just really listening to them and trying to figure it out.
Biggest surprises in the business? I mean, when you say, okay, hey, this is really going to rock the house, and we're going to present whatever this is, and the customers come in and go,
we're going through that right now. We're actually going to release a new menu in late September, and the appetizers that we think are going to stay probably are like spinach and artichoke dip, chicken nachos, and wings.
Yeah, right.
So there's items like fried pickles, you know, fried cauliflower, which are normally heavily discussed, but they're not ordered as frequently as the mainstays of chicken nachos and spin dip. So you have this check and balance of you want something unique and dynamic, but you also want something that sells really well.
You know, last week was the Iowa State Fair. I was over at Stockman's, which is one of my favorite haunts out there at the State Fair. Mm-hmm. They have fried green beans.
Oh, nice. Do you feel healthy? Like, oh, green beans, yeah, and fried? It's great. The Diet Pepsi.
I didn't have any, but it looked pretty interesting anyway. Yeah, and they do the pickle thing as well. So, yeah, you never really know, do you?
You never really know. I mean, we...
Does it go in cycles?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You also have that. Sometimes seasonal things work out better. I always try to teach our staff to really ask before people leave, you know, how was everything? What did you have today? And then you really hear more so that feedback. I think too often people ask, how was everything? Oh, I mean, it was great. Right. And then they walk out. But then you have to ask, what did you have? You know, what could we do better? And sometimes as simple as a seasoning component.
You know,
maybe it was too salty, maybe too spicy, maybe too oily. And those things are easy to correct.
Is it easy to correct? I mean, the palate changes that human beings seem to have.
I think
go ahead. Yeah,
I think as a restaurant operator, the hardest things, when I first opened, I had just Iowa craft beers on tap.
Cool.
So it's a good example. And I was like, oh, man, it's going to be great. Everyone loves Iowa craft beer. Yep. Well, then what happened very quickly is like people wanted Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light. And then I had to change that to offer more of a range of Iowa, you know, Midwest products and stuff like that. So the biggest hardship is going ahead with a decision and realizing very quickly, oh, we need to change it. And I think a lot of people take too long to change. So we're trying to really listen
there
and change.
There it is. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, if you take too long to change, sometimes the public doesn't give you a second chance.
Correct.
Or third chance.
Well, I think in Des Moines, we're too rich with restaurants.
Oh, aren't we, though?
Yeah. So it's very easy to go elsewhere, you know, which I think is great as a consumer. But I can say right now as a business operator, competition normally make you better. But sometimes it's too convenient to go to other restaurants besides Gilroy's.
Yeah, you go right across the street or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. What is, other than the food, Carl Wurzberger, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. We're talking about Gilroy's on 8th Street in West Des Moines. Other than the food, what do you think the draw is to Gilroy's?
Yeah, the biggest thing I instill in all of our staff is building relationships.
Yeah.
I tell them time and time again, if we can build a relationship with each guest that comes in our doors, we win. Now, on top of that, we certainly serve food, we certainly have drinks, and we certainly have a great vibe, but building relationships, I think, is key to bringing people back, and that could be giving them a smile, giving them, you know, how's your daughter, you know, school starting back up, you know, here's some Wiki Sticks, here's a Tootsie Pop, be good in school. Normally, those touches are not really felt at most restaurants.
Uh-huh. And how much of that is intentional? How much of that is trained?
I mean,
do you spend a lot of time with your front of house people?
Yeah. A lot of it is us training them. I mean, I think people in the Midwest, we have big hospitality. So I think people are very kind natured. But I think to take it to the next level, it's instilling them that, you know, this is the new standard. Good case in point, you know, opening the door when people come in.
Yeah.
You open the door on the way out, you know, shaking their hand, thanking them to come. Those things are normally not attributes of typical servers because they feel like that should be a role maybe of an owner operator. So instead, it's telling our team, hey guys, when people come here, this is your restaurant. You know, let's thank them, let's shake their hands. So that's more of a training aspect.
Usually every restaurateur that we talk to, Carl, has the same issue, and we talk about it over and over and over again, is finding really good help that wants to stay in the business. What about the servers at Gilroy's? I suspect that your front of the house people can make a pretty good living on just 3 or 4 days a week?
Yeah, I get this question the most when it talks restaurants. It talks about staff. And I tell this to people. If you have a dynamic place that offers a wide range and offering of products, mm-hmm. we have big hours of operation. We open every day at 7:45.
In the morning.
In the morning. You know, we serve till, you know, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. on weekends. We're open till midnight, you know, on the weekends.
Those are hellacious hours.
They are hellacious hours, but here's the funny thing. When it pertains to staffing, it's easy for me to convince someone to come our way. We're open 7 days a week. So you have mounds of opportunities. Yeah. You know, you have awesome. You know, I have some people just work during the day. I mean, think about this. They come into work at 7 a.m., serve our breakfast groups in the morning. They serve through lunch, and they're off right at this time, you know, around 3, 4 o'clock.
Wow.
And then that way they can spend nights maybe with their family, loved ones, and come back. And 7 days a week is great, too, because that way they know they have 7 days a week of work opportunities.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. I did not realize you guys were that open. I mean, that's like running the breakfast house.
Yeah, correct. I always tell people, no matter what day, no matter what time, come to Gilroy's because we're typically open.
We got it going. Gilroy's, it is on 8th Street. We're talking with Carl Wurzenberger. Great name, Carl.
Yeah,
thanks. The red hair and the whole thing, man.
I know. I look more Irish, but I'm really more German with that last name.
There you go. best thing about your job?
Oh, man, it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell people every day is different. I think when it comes to restaurants, a restaurant calls you rather than you go to it.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. So every day I go in, meet new people. Today was Devin, you know, at the bar top, won a strawberry shake, and we're happy to accommodate his needs. He's going to go to school. So
nice. We're talking about Gilroy's. It's on 8th Street, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not been there, you might want to make this an opportunity, our restaurant of the week. We talk about menus and menu planning, back of the house, the chefs and the folks that are making the food. Do you get into that role as well, Carl, or are you pitching the books?
Yeah, I have staff, a chef and a sous chef.
Yeah,
my involvement in the culinary team is more so my chef and I connecting. I certainly have spent times in the past in the kitchen, but predominantly the decision making goes to the culinary team, and then I, with the chef, will make final say to what they do. The biggest thing right now in the restaurant world is trying to find high quality talent.
Yeah.
So a lot of times for us, when it comes to the culinary, even front of house decisions, it's trying to do things well, but how easy are they to be done? So I think a lot of times people overdo stuff, and sometimes too hard to make it consistently.
One of the things that people say about the business of restaurateuring is that it is one of the most difficult businesses to stay in. Mm-hmm. I mean, the failure rate of businesses, restaurants, seems to be over the top. But is that accurate, or is it just a perception because people move so much around?
Yeah, I guess I would say both sides could be true.
Yeah.
I think in Des Moines here, there's a lot of restaurants we see come and go. I think any industry can be difficult. So I think what I would say to people, if you're passionate about what you do, hopefully that work comes easy because you're passionate about it. Hours don't mean that much to you. For me, I work plenty hours, but I don't think about it like that. I think about going to work, having fun. And if you do those things, typically happiness means stronger work. And then stronger work brings in more guests. And then hopefully you become successful.
What about the location of Gilroy's? At one time, that was on the outskirts, if you will. When it was Jimmy's, it was almost on the outskirts of town. Now it's in the middle of the metro. I want to be careful how I say this. It's not in the trendy part of Des Moines any longer. You know, I mean, the trendy part, you know, yeah. Jordan Creek.
It's a fair enough comment.
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, it's in the middle of everything, and you can get there within minutes from any place in the city.
Yeah, I love our location. I think we're the sandwich meat. We mean, right in the middle. I mean, we have so much growth going on Jordan Creek. And you're right, we certainly have a lot of growth downtown and eastward. I think right now for a lot of restaurateurs, parking is very limited and hard.
And you've got plenty of that.
We got plenty. We got plenty of parking in our main lot, side areas. So many people come our way, especially groups, knowing that they come to Gilroy's. They can park. They have accessibility to 235 Ashworth and Grand. Once again, 7 days a week at 7:45. So they know, hey, why don't we go to Gilroy's? I just had the other day a funeral group come from Van Meter to our place at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said, why'd you come our way? We knew you'd be open. We've come here before. We've been here before. And you're easily located off the interstate, so we decided to come.
Marketing for a place like Gilroy's, what's been working for you?
Word of mouth is always best. Yeah. I always like the cost structure of word of mouth. So I always tell people when people come in our door, let's give them reasons to tell others about it. You know, even today, I haven't given it to you yet. You know, I brought a good flyer here. It goes over all our weekly promos. So once again, about
So say again now.
So right now I have with me a flyer that goes over all of our weekly promos. So I always tell my staff.
So you're thinking ahead.
Yeah, I always tell our team, hey, here you go. Why don't you take this, guys? Go to the grocery store. Go to your dentist. Go to your hairstylist. Give this piece to them and say, hey, I would sure love you to support me at my place of business. Mm. And if we do that, that's about building community. So for us, the initial stage, we certainly did direct mailer pieces to remind people, hey, we're in your neighborhood. Sure. Come see us. And since then, we're doing more just marketing with people coming to our door. Saying, you know, are you aware of the fact that, you know, we're open for breakfast? No, I only come for dinner. Well, we're here at 7:45. I did not know that, Carl. Hey, you should consider coming our way. And then oftentimes that leads to another conversation of we're going XYZ for breakfast. And I say, why don't you come our way and check it out? They're like, sure thing. So
neat. Carl Wurtzenberger, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Gilroy's, our restaurant of the week. So this weekend, music? You guys do any of that stuff?
Yeah, actually, we have a rock and music schedule every Wednesday night. Live music on our patio. We do a 4 to 6 rush hour happy hour.
I'm going to tell you something, okay? That used to be Jimmy's go-to.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there is a reason I specifically pick Wednesday night.
And why?
It's for the Margaritaville back in the day for Jimmy's. Yeah. My age demographic, if I can say this openly on radio, is different than yours.
Yeah.
But I did learn firsthand when we talked about opening Gilroy's that people said, oh, Wednesday nights. And they blew it out of the water saying they had fond memories of Jimmy's on Wednesday nights. So we took that same model-ish, and we decided to build live music. And we're doing this May through September. We do it every Wednesday night in the corner of our patio from 6 to 9 p.m.
Very nice. All right. It is all about Gilroy's, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming in and doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. All right. We've got to step aside, see what happened today on Wall Street on the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. Gilroy's, a restaurant of the week. Fun stuff. All right, that and more yet ahead on this Friday edition. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave